We're going to talk about the power of dreams in just a moment. Kelly Sullivan Walden back with us. A couple of her books include Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's all about your dreams. Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions. Another one called I Had the Strangest Dreams. She's got a lot, and she's got some videos out too. Websites, Facebook, Twitter, all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. Let me tell you about Kelly Sullivan Walden, of course. Kelly is on a mission to awaken the world to the power of dreams. She is known as America's premier dream expert, as a dream therapist, and author of several books on dreams and premonitions. Kelly knows what she's talking about, and you will find that out. She has appeared on numerous radio and television shows to analyze dreams. We'll do that with you with calls later and explain how we can benefit from listening to our inner wisdom. Kelly, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, George. What a dream to be back with you.
And I tell you, I can think of a better time to have you back. People are just uptight beyond words, Kelly.
Yeah, beyond belief.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's true. This is a time that we've never seen before, and our dreams are reflecting that, and our sleep patterns are, we're up, and we need support. We need support with our sleep and with our dreams. So I'm happy to be here and give you all I've got.
Absolutely. Dreams are so powerful, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They tell us a lot about ourselves. I mean, they don't lie. Our ego can lie. You can ask me how I'm doing, and I could say, oh, just fine. Everything's peachy. But if I tell you a dream, you know what's really going on. So it's a great way to really get to know somebody, to hear about their dreams.
Can we manipulate other people's dreams?
Well, as a matter of fact, this is I just completed a four-part sleep and dream study where this was the primary driving question, can we influence someone else's dreams? And this was done on the Twitch network, Twitch Presents.
Twitch, okay.
Twitch. Which Twitch? It's just Twitch. But it's mostly a gamers network, so it was all kind of under the guise of fun and pranks, but there were serious implications, and if you can still watch it. Some of the videos are still online at Twitch Presents. That's twitch.tv/Twitch Presents. And what we found is we had so much data that was being pummeled at the sleepers during the experiment. Literally, we had thousands of people from around the world watching this first of its kind sleep and dream experiment. Normally in a sleep and dream experiment, there's only a few people observing. In this case, we had the world observing and participating in the dream and sleep experiment, and people were asked to vote on how they wanted to influence or try to influence somebody's dream by affecting the temperature in the room, the sounds that they could hear, moving the bed around, and even bringing in certain characters to stand above them. And
interesting. Like,
and we found that I don't know if you want me to, spoiler alert, we are influenced by what people are thinking about the person dreaming, messages that they send. But what is most interesting is that the sleeper and the dreamer will only remember the dreams or the images that really had their name on it. For example, George, if you were sleeping and I was to whisper in your ear all the names, let's say thousands of names of different people, the only names that you would likely remember when you woke up would be your own name and the names of the people that you love.
Right.
So when really thousands of names were whispered in your ear and were affecting your subconscious mind to some degree, but you would only remember the things that you already were sorting for.
Would I have known the thousand?
No. I mean, your subconscious mind records everything. So on some level, yes, but you're only going to remember what is going to reinforce what you're already focused on and what you already care about. So this is interesting because you can't believe the things that happened to these dreamers and sleepers. Literally, people in hazmat suits dancing in the room, people dressed as pigs and dogs and donkeys and just the craziest scene you could imagine. And some of those images filtered into the person's dream, but most of them were the dreamer and sleeper had no idea what was going on in the room.
Now, to influence someone's dream, does the influencer have to sleep and dream about that person, or can they do it in an awake state?
So all of the people that were influencing, the influencers, let's just say, so there's the sleeper, and then there's the influencers that were watching remotely from around the world, and I would be on a separate channel asking them what they wanted to vote on. So they were awake. They weren't asleep at all. They were all absolutely awake. Now, it's another level when you are sleeping with the person or near the person or also asleep sending messages. I think that takes it to a deeper, more psychic level. But in this case, these were people that were absolutely awake. So it just makes me wonder, George, you know, are we all being attempted to be influenced?
Maybe, and don't even know it.
Exactly. I mean, the big question that people had that were watching the sleepers, how they would ask the question, how is it possible that somebody could sleep and dream in the midst of such mayhem? Because you'd think, like, you know, if you stay in a room, you travel, or at least you used to before the pandemic, you travel a lot.
I still do.
You still do, even in the midst of the pandemic?
Yes, nothing stops me.
Wow, George, you are amazing. Well, I love you for that. Just keep on going. Keep being you. But you know what it's like if you stay in a strange hotel room? Some hotel rooms are easier to sleep in than others, like
mm-hmm.
even just the different
sheets
can be hard to sleep. But these people were able to sleep in not only a strange sleep environment, but an environment where people were, I mean, there was at one point there were 100,000 people watching at one time the person sleeping, and not just watching, but voting and having a banter about them. And yet they were sleeping like a baby. And my response to, or my hypothesis for why these people were able to sleep under such, like inside a circus basically, is I think we all are. Our brains are wired to help us survive. So we can sleep in a war zone. We can sleep in the midst of a pandemic. We can sleep even if we are absolutely being observed by a universe of beings that are checking us out as we sleep. That's the fact that we can sleep doesn't mean that we are in a cozy little cocoon that we think we are. It's kind of radical to imagine. I mean, we're hurling through space as we speak at least 67,000 miles per hour. And yet here we are sleeping, talking, sitting, like it's normal. Anyway, this sleep experiment was very eye-opening. And
was it shocking to you?
It was very shocking. It was.
You didn't expect this, did you?
No, it wasn't. I would have expected, first of all, that nobody could sleep through this. And secondly, I would have expected that the dreams that these people had would have been much more reflective of what was going on. There was just little traces of what was going on in the room that showed up in their dream. And really, the things that showed up in their dreams were the things that related to what was important to them in their lives. And I can give you some examples, but I know I'm just blabbering on here.
No, give us a few. Go ahead.
So the dream experiment took place in England because
How many people?
So we had four different dreamers each week. So we had four subjects altogether, and we had over 100,000, actually many more than 100,000, but at a minimum 100,000 watching it any one time. And at certain points, there were 20,000 people in the chat voting.
Wow, that's huge.
Yes, it was unprecedented. So, for example, our first subject, subject 001, she had, because of the pandemic, she hadn't been out. She'd been in England, living in London, and completely by herself. She's a single woman.
Age? What's
she, you know, she was, I believe she was 23 years old.
Okay.
So young.
A millennial type.
A millennial, oh, for sure. And she hadn't been out except for grocery shopping. And so she was really missing, like in her, like her present emotional state was really sad and upset about missing her friends. And one of the things that her friends would do on a regular basis would be, would meet at Piccadilly Circus and go shopping and hang out. So one of the pranks that was done on her in the sleep experiment was sounds of the city. So she's sleeping, everything's peaceful, and all of a sudden, honk, honk, there's like, hey, buddy, you know, there's just sounds of the city. And where does she go in her mind but to Piccadilly Circus? So while that was happening, she was dreaming that she was back in her cityscape with her friends out having this social experience. So 1,000 people could have had that same sound pummeled into their sleep zone and had 100 different dreams about what was uniquely emotionally charged for them. So it's not like we're all going to have the same dream based on the different stimulus that's sent to us. So that's one example.
Are some of the dreams done by the influencer to harm people?
Oh, well, that's a whole... in this experiment, no. But at the same time, no, but nothing was ruled out. I mean, some of the people were more respectful than others. But we could say that, you know, and this is a hypothesis of mine. I don't have science to back this. But we know that even if somebody's harboring a resentment towards somebody, let's say there was an unrequited love situation, and I've had people send me in dream questions because they were in a situation like this where they were asking about how they could influence somebody else in their dream that maybe stopped loving them or that broke up with them or that didn't like them. So I know that there is a desire when people want something. We all have a will, and sometimes our will can get the best of us and can want to try to harm or influence somebody that isn't necessarily based on the most altruistic of thoughts or purposes. In this particular dream experiment, the people were strangers to one another, so there wouldn't have been any deliberate intent to harm that I could imagine. And yet, these are gamers, and some of these people, they're cavalier about mayhem, and they might not have been coming from the highest, most spiritual place. But it didn't seem like any of the subjects were harmed. I'm praying that none of them are. They all seemed fine upon awakening, groggy, for sure. But there are some things that I learned from this about how we can block interference so that we don't have the experience of being as influenced by forces that don't have our best interest at heart.
What would you say are dream interference? What is that?
Dream interference, from my perspective, is other people having an agenda and having a desire and intent to influence our dreams, maybe to have us think in a particular way or dream along a particular line of thought. And then they actually physically do something or psychically implant an idea that might have some implications to us in a place of vulnerability. In some way, if we're going to take it to another level, you can think of it like the way that advertisers do when we're online. So if we're shopping for anything that we would shop for, like I might shop for a blouse. Somebody else might shop for a gun or might shop for a mask. Immediately there's algorithms, and you're sent other images of other things that relate to what you already clicked on, that already show that you are sorting for. There's billions of bits of data that are filtering through our minds at any given time, and yet there's only a handful. We can only absorb between 5 to 7 bits of data at any moment. So it's almost like advertisers and even some that would be dream influencers know what data our minds are already sorting for and give us images that kind of fit inside of that tiny pie slice of what will resonate and register for us.
How much control do we have, Kelly, over our dreams?
This is the exciting part, and this is what I'm really mostly excited to talk about, because there's my friend and my publicist, Steve Allen. I'll give him a shout out, Steve Allen Media. He always says to me, Kelly, control your controllables. And I think it's one of the best pieces of advice that I'd like to turn around and give to your listeners, George. There's the things that we cannot control. There's so much that we can't. It's overwhelming. And yet, if we focus on what we do have control over, even if it's just a tiny pie slice, once again, we can be a lot better off than we would be if we just simply felt powerless and did nothing. So there are some things that we can do to protect ourselves and to put ourselves, to ensconce ourselves in the best possible dream and sleep situation possible for best and optimum sleep and dreaming. And one of those things is, my recommendation is, there's definitely crystals that you can use. There's definitely simple things where you want to declutter your dream zone and you want to make sure that you're not listening to anything except for coast to coast as you go to sleep.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Now, you talk about colors in bedrooms and things like that, that they all affect your sleep and dreams.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the main thing is, to me, is sleep time meditations. I've created some that I'm giving away for free. It's my August is my birthday month, so I'm giving away.
Well, happy birthday month.
Thank you. So I'm giving away 21 sleep time meditations so that people can listen if they get jarred awake.
What would a short one be that you can quickly show?
We're talking about 7 to 10 minutes of listening to a meditation that relaxes your body, it calms your mind, and gives you something very positive to think about. The most.
It's on tape or on the CD?
It's digital, and it's on my website, and it's for free. People can get it. It's at ihadthestrangestdream.com. It's free. Starting in September, they'll be $100, but August, they're completely free. And it's I'm working with a company called Snooze. They have a tea that you can drink that's got cannabis in it. And if you drink that along with it, you get 20% off of that. But that's kind of besides the point. Anyway, the sleep meditations help you to get a more restful sleep and help you to think thoughts that are positive, help you to give yourself the best possible. Like if you put yourself, there's been studies shown that if you think about what you're grateful for as you go to sleep, it literally will build your immune system. There's something about gratitude that boosts our oxytocin. It raises our serotonin. And these are some of the best things that we can do to fight off disease and even the thoughts that lead to, like the fear thoughts that lead to us being sick, the cortisol and all of that, which is the big enemy. So one of the meditations I have is gratitude. Gives you an opportunity to really scan your life through the lens of the thousands of things that you could be grateful for, from our breath to the ceiling over our head to our beds to so many things that we just take for granted. And also just there's a relaxation meditation that simply puts you in a deep state of like physical relaxation. But going back to what you asked right before, about the colors in your room.
Mm-hmm.
This is fascinating. I think a lot of people that would consider themselves to be in the mind, body, spirit world, purple is a really popular color, even indigo. And according to scientists, purple is a color that you absolutely don't want in your dream zone. It's been proven that you don't want. It creates there is that margin of error, because we are unique beings and some of us are the anomaly. But across the board, purple tends to create anxiety. It tends to, even though in the waking life, purple can be soothing, but in a sleep zone, for some reason, it tends to create a restlessness in dreams.
Interesting. Hold on, Kelly. We're going to come back in a moment and take some more questions with you and then calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Kelly Sullivan Walden, as we talk about the power of dreams. Kelly, we're talking about the bedroom colors, and you said stay away from purple.
Stay away from purples and reds. Red is also the big no-no. So the colors that tend to provoke you are, and even orange. Orange is too stimulating. It tends to create stress in the body, even if it's on an unconscious level, even if it's your favorite color. That's the colors that science has proven creates more calm. It are earth tones or even blues. Those colors tend to be the best for your sleep zone. Not even bright whites. We want things
like beige and stuff like that.
Yeah, earth tones seem to be best. They seem to give us some kind of an unconscious sense that we're safe, that we're calm, and that all is well. It's not about pandering to our conscious mind, but our subconscious mind. Our conscious mind might love purples and reds and orange, but our subconscious mind is more of an animal. It's wanting to feel like we're in a safe cocoon. And also we want to have the doors and windows in a particular way. There's a way to be able to arrange your bed in a room so that you're, according to feng shui, in the commanding position, so that you're facing the door at an angle, as if to say, like, if some intruder were to walk in, you'd be able to see them before they see you. And unconsciously, our mind tends to feel more relaxed, as opposed to if our back was to the door, we wouldn't sleep as well. We wouldn't be as peaceful as if we were in the commanding position. So there's a few simple physiological things that we can do to set ourselves up to have better sleeping and better dreaming.
Kelly, have you dealt with precognitive dreams, lucid dreams, and dreams like that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, for myself as well as lots of people come to me with these kinds of dreams. And I think when it comes to precognitive dreams, the rule of thumb is that we don't necessarily know they're precognitive until something happens to prove that that we did, in fact, see the future. There's a shamanic belief that is that we dream everything before it happens. So if we dream 3 to 9 big dreams every night, and most of us, even those of us who are really into dreams like myself, will only remember a few dreams.
Yeah, why is that? Why do we only remember a few?
Because the part of our mind that is doing the dreaming is it's located in, like, our limbic brain, our association cortex, our limbic brain. Versus the part of us that does the thinking in our waking state is mostly our prefrontal cortex. So it's literally like a changing of the guards or passing of the baton. In the moments that we wake up, our brain chemistry, everything changes. We go from these deep alpha waves, theta waves, delta waves to suddenly beta waves. And it's like changing a radio station. It's going from listening to Coast to Coast to all of a sudden listening to a hard rock station.
We don't change.
We never change. But if you're in the groove of listening to you, George, and then all of a sudden there was this abrupt, and all of a sudden we're listening to AC/DC, we might forget the brilliant words of wisdom that George was just imparting to us because of that abruptness. So it's like that when we wake up. So if we don't wake up gently, if we don't spend a little bit of time deliberately on the bridge between worlds, between sleep and awake, most of our dreams will be lost. So most of what I teach people is how to extend the dream bridge as long as possible so that you can retain at least one piece of one dream. If you're able to pull that over, then sometime during the day later you might get other pieces and other pieces and other pieces. And it is a muscle. We can all get better at it.
Where do nightmares fit into this, Kelly?
Nightmares are actually the unsung heroes of our dreams. So
really?
Yes.
Heroes?
Heroes. Yes, most of the time. Now, there are exceptions, but most of the time, we can consider that our subconscious mind and our dreams, every one of them, come to us in the service of our health, healing, and wholeness. Now, there are exceptions where, like under the case like we were talking about earlier in the earlier segment about dream interference, sometimes those unpleasant dreams aren't necessarily our own subconscious mind. They go through our subconscious mind's filter, but our dreams, even the scary ones, are trying to show us, like some of the most dramatic nightmares, they're trying to wake us up to a pattern that may be dysfunctional in our lives. Here's one example, And this isn't even psychological. This is just physiological. My grandmother, before she passed away, about a year before she passed away, she kept telling me that she was having dreams that she was being choked. And the truth is, those dreams were so upsetting, they would wake her up. And it turned out she was choking. She wasn't sleeping in a way that she was getting optimum breath. So her dreams were trying to wake her up and let her know that she was choking. So some people that have sleep apnea that don't know it because it hasn't been diagnosed, and sleep apnea is where your airwaves are blocked and you don't get all the oxygen that you need. In fact, sometimes you're not breathing at all. Some people with undiagnosed sleep apnea will have horrific nightmares that are so disturbing that it will wake them up so that they can get a breath. So in some ways, you could consider that most nightmares, and I'm giving that most, not saying all, but most of them are doing the same thing for even emotional issues. Maybe if you dream of being killed or somebody trying to attempt to kill you, it could be that there's a part of your own subconscious mind that is telling you there's a behavior that you have, there's some pattern, there's some thought that you are repetitively thinking that is killing you. You've got to stop this. You've got to wake up to this. Or if you die in a dream, you might consider that pattern that was dysfunctional is on its way out. It's been killed so that a new part of you can be born. Are you thinking I'm crazy here, George?
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Just on the verge. Okay, good.
When we get calls, some people may want their dreams interpreted. Will you do that?
It would be my pleasure. I want to make sure that people know, though, this is really important because especially there's been Harvard studies done on this recently during the pandemic. More people are reporting having nightmares during this time, and
they're uneasy, sure.
Right, and they're tending to follow a particular pattern that really relate to COVID and what we're being locked in about. So there are a ton of people having dreams that they have COVID, even if they don't. But we could say that even these dreams are trying to help us, because in some ways they're helping us to, if we did get it, they would help us to be coping, or they're telling us to be cautious, to be mindful about where we're at and who we're hanging out with. And they're also, in some cases, giving us solutions about how to heal faster. I know for myself, and this may be true for some of your listeners, I've had a lot of dreams where I'm in a public place and I'm grieving not being able to hug. George, you know, I've met you in person. I'm a hugger.
Yes, you are.
Whether you like it or not, I'm a hugger. And so, of course, my dreams have been about me hugging people and it not going well. And I remember, oh, my God, I can't hug these people. So I wake up and it's reinforcing, Kelly, not now. Save your hugs for later. In a few months from now, hopefully within a year from now, you can have all the hugging you want. But my dreams are trying to help me psychologically come to terms with the fact that you've got to refrain from this very natural behavior. I know a lot of people are having dreams about being around people or touching and kind of grieving that they're not able to do that. So it's interesting to know that we're not alone in these dreams, that there are many, many of us, millions of us having these same dreams.
Can you enter somebody's dream, Kelly, not to influence them, but to harm them?
Not to influence them, but to harm them.
Physically harm them.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we're gonna go there, I know
there was a movie like that, I think.
Oh, yes, there have been. I can't think of the name of it. There was one with Jennifer Lopez years ago with that. But I know a gentleman who will remain nameless, but he worked for NASA, and he was also he is an amazing character. You would love him, George. Anyway, he was on a special task force that was kind of along the lines of the movie Men Who Stare at Goats. Did you see it? I'm sure you saw that.
I've seen that with George Clooney.
Yes, yes. Well, that wasn't just a movie. That was definitely based on real things that are happening, kind of the psychic warfare, so to speak. And from his perspective, this is what he taught me. He said, first of all, this will scare you, but then this other thing will give you some hope. He said, if we knew what was going on psychically from other places that didn't mean us well. He said that it would absolutely create so much havoc that we would have a difficult time focusing and being able to stay here. He said, but here's the thing. If we, like, there are adverse forces. There are. However, he said, what is our best inoculation to that dream interference is this. Now, this might sound like a tall order, but I think it's why we were born anyway. He said, we must become the most enlightened versions of ourselves that we can possibly be if we can seriously take our spiritual growth, our bringing in the light from our source, wherever we call it, whatever our religion is, bringing in that light into our physical being and into especially our dream and sleep state, because that's when we are the most vulnerable, then we cannot be harmed. Somebody can truly mean to harm us, but if we have been spiritual warriors and filled ourselves up with light and created enough of a shield around us, we can prevail. And that is our mandate. I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I'm saying it hopefully to get people's attention so that they'll take their personal spiritual growth a bit more seriously and raise it up a notch or two or three.
How did you get so involved in dreams? How did this all start for you?
Oh, George, when I was very young, I have four sisters. My sister Shannon, who is closest to me in age, she's a year and a half younger than I am. She and I seemed to always have a bedroom together in whatever configuration our house would be growing up. And we had a very, and still do, have a very psychic connection with each other. And we would have tandem dreaming as little girls, where we would be in the same dreamscape at the same time with one another. And this would be confirmed over breakfast cereal the next morning. One of us would start talking about a dream, and the other one would finish the sentence, even though it had nothing to do with what was going on in our waking life. So we didn't know that this was special. We just thought everybody could do this. But we really, it was like our game. We couldn't wait to go to sleep. We were the little girls that our mom and dad didn't have to make us go to bed.
You were ready to pop into bed.
We were ready to go in. It was like, what's going to happen tonight? Where are we going to go? What are we going to see? And we would be, not every night, but often enough that it was a regular occurrence that we would end up in each other's dream. And so that, because I had a partner in crime, so to speak, it became a regular thing that I would go out of my way to remember. Now, most kids have excellent dream recall. It's just as we become adults that it starts to wane. But because of my sister, I kept remembering dreams because I had somebody that didn't think I was crazy when I would tell her my dreams, and she would also share them with me. So then I became a hypnotherapist, and I realized that our dreams are the language of our subconscious mind, which, as a hypnotherapist, the subconscious mind is my territory. And I realized that when people wanted to change a pattern, if I had them come into our session and tell me a dream, and we could work inside of a dream, the therapy would progress so much more quickly than if we were simply talking about the problems that they wanted to change on a cognitive level. So to me, dreams have become this, they're sort of my tarot cards. They're the way that I get in and understand a person more psychically, but they're also the way that I think that people can change more rapidly and quickly into the people that we really want to become.
It's pretty traumatic, isn't it?
Dreams? Traumatic? Well, dramatic, yes. And some dreams can be traumatic, oh, that's for sure. And I think they're incredible, but we don't have to. And I don't know, I'm sure we talked about this before, on one, you know, I've been with you before, but to me this bears repeating. One of the things that people can do if they have a traumatic, dramatic dream, there's a way to be able to finish the dream so that you are empowered. And this, it doesn't mean lucid dreaming, because most people that are listening to the show right now, George, are not going to be lucid dreaming. There's a few that have a particular talent and that are really naturally good at it, but most people aren't going to become lucid dreamers. And there's a way to be able to influence your own dream even if you're not a lucid dreamer. And I'd be happy to give you my little formula.
Real quick, go ahead.
Okay. So you can do this in your waking state through a meditation. by simply thinking about how would I prefer that this dream would end. This is something that I've been doing for years, and it turns out at Harvard they've been doing this very clinically. They call it imagery rehearsal therapy, IRT. It's where you simply imagine an outcome of a dream that you would prefer. So if you're being chased by a zombie apocalypse, for example, not that, you know, we want anybody to dream that because that would be unpleasant, but if that were to happen, you imagine, okay, if I was the director of this dream, how would I change things? So you could all of a sudden imagine, oh, I have the button that I can press pause. I can wake these people up out of their slumber. These zombies can all of a sudden become beautiful, or you become a giant and they become tiny little ants. Whatever it is that you, your imagination dreams up to have you become the powerful one. Your dream isn't over until you are empowered.
That's pretty dramatic all by itself. Kelly, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls with you. She will interpret your dreams. But if you have a question about dreams and its effectiveness, its power, check in with us as well. Her websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Books and videos, she's got them all on her website. Back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM.